ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीभगवानुवाच मया वेश्यमनो ये मां नित्यजुक्तः उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेतास्तेमयुक्ततमामतः।
The Blessed Lord said, He whose mind is fixed in my personal form, always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, is considered by me to be most perfect. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities, because everything is done by Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears, or sometimes reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. We are reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, which is entitled Devotional Service. Today we are reading from the second verse of the 12th chapter. In this verse, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is answering the most relevant question of Arjuna. The first verse, Arjuna inquires, and in this inquiry, he is clearing a great doubt, which from time immemorial has been within the people's minds who have been on the path of yoga or self-realization. You see, the absolute truth can be understood according to different perspectives as he reveals himself differently according to how you approach him. Some approach the absolute truth as the impersonal, unmanifest, all-pervading energy, and that at this realization, all sense of personality, all sense of variety, and all sense of form is transcended and no longer exists. Others worship the personal form of God through devotion. And according to their understanding, the impersonal, all-pervading energy of the Lord, the Brahman, is simply like the sunlight that is emanating from the form of the Almighty Sun in the form of Krishna. So since time immemorial, there has been great debates over which is a higher and more perfect realization of God, his impersonal aspect or his personal aspect, Brahman or Krishna. So Arjuna, he is inquiring from Krishna, and there is no higher authority than Krishna himself. Amongst the monists or the impersonal philosophers, sometimes known to be following the path of jnana yoga, the foremost and most influential was Sripad Shankaracharya. Now Shankaracharya, he accepted Bhagavad Gita as the supreme word of God. In fact, he himself wrote beautiful poems in glorification of the personality of Godhead, describing Narayana Paro Vyaktat, that Narayan is completely transcendental and is the supreme. So Shankaracharya,
as well as all the great acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Balabhacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all accepted Bhagavad Gita as the supreme word of God. They all accepted Bhagavan Sri Krishna as the absolute authority. And Arjuna is here inquiring from Krishna to clear this doubt, this argument within the minds of all. He inquires, Evam satata yukta ye bhaktas tvam paryupasate ye chap yaksharam avyaktam tesham yoga vyaktamaha. Arjuna inquired, which is considered to be more perfect? Those who are properly engaged in devotional service to your personal form, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? And here Lord Sri Krishna gives the answer to this question, which must be accepted by all. Maya vishyamano ye mam nitya yukta upashate shradhaya parayopestas teme yukta tamamataha. The Blessed Lord said, he whose mind is fixed on my personal form, always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith and devotion, he is considered by me to be the most perfect. So the process of bhakti, Krishna explains in this 12th chapter, is the only means by which we can know him in his perfect and complete manifestation. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakyas aham evam vidurajana. In the 12th chapter, Krishna says, only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am. Through the process of jnana, or mental discrimination, intellectual prowess, we can understand how the absolute truth is beyond all the relative senses and the perceptions of this world. He is beyond the three modes of material nature, and he is the impersonal, all-pervading Brahman, which is existing everywhere. Through the process of the Ashtanga Yoga system, we can understand how the Lord is seated within the heart of every living being. But to enter into the supreme realization of God, an eternal loving relationship with him in the spiritual world, this is only possible through the process of bhakti, or unalloyed devotion. This is the final analysis of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masucha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. This process of surrendering is bhakti. Now, what is the quality of this bhakti? It is a great mystery for those who have not tasted the sweetness of devotion. I remember when I first went to Vrindavan, it was in 1971. There was no Hare Krishna temple at that time, so I was living with just the local people who were there. And one very, very learned sadhu, very elevated soul, he was sitting on the bank of Jamuna, and I sat and began to talk with him. He was a Moni Baba. He would not speak. But if something was very essential to be said, he had a little broken piece of a blackboard and a little broken piece of chalk that he would write. And he spoke very excellent English. At least he wrote very excellent English. So I sat next to him, and he wrote down on his blackboard, throughout the world, no one can understand the residents of Vrindavan. They think we are crazy. Huh? So I didn't say anything, I just said, all right. What else? And he said, and then he wiped it off, because it was only this big. And then the next thing he said, do you think we are crazy? Question mark. And I was afraid I may commit offense to him. If I say yes, he may take it an offense. Said, why, you are saying I'm crazy? And if I say no, it may be an offense because he already says he was crazy.
So I said, I do not know whether you are crazy or not. And then he wrote down, and then he wiped it off, and he wrote, we are crazy. And then he looked at me and went like this. And I said, thank you very much. And then he wiped it off again. And then he wrote, but we are crazy for Krishna only. And then he cleansed it and wrote again, and if you stay here for any amount of time, you will also become crazy. So what is this craziness? In the material world, everyone is crazy for sense enjoyment. Everyone is crazy for money. Everyone is crazy for power, crazy for position, crazy for influence. This whole material world is crazy. But the fact is, in the spiritual world, everyone is crazy too. Everyone is crazy for Krishna. They are crazy to dance for him, to chant for him, to cook for him, to remember him, to think about him, to do everything for him. So factually, the living entity by constitutional position is crazy. Either you're crazy for God or you're crazy for trying to become God by enjoying your senses. In Vrindavan, they have such an elevated devotion to Krishna. They have far transcended all preliminary understandings of the Absolute Truth. They simply love him. They simply want to do everything for him. There is a place in Vrindavan. This is an example that I will give. There is a place in Vrindavan. It is near Nandagaon. Nandagaon is the place where Nanda Maharaj established a beautiful cowherd community. And at that place, from about the age of 4 years until Krishna left Vrindavan, Lord Krishna lived in Nandagaon. So there was one meeting place. That place is still there today. And here was that when there was some very important business amongst the cowherd men, they would congregate there to meet. Now, Nanda Maharaj's older brother, his name was Upananda. He was considered the leader of all the cowherd men. So he called this meeting. It was an emergency meeting. And they called Nanda Maharaj because he was the subject of this meeting. And Upananda, on behalf of all the other residents of Vrindavan, he began to speak. He said, here, all the elders, the seniors of our community, we are meeting together because we think there is a very serious problem here in Braja. Try to understand, Nanda Maharaj, who your son is. He is not an ordinary man. He is not an ordinary child. We have decided either he is Vishnu, or at the least, he's Brahma or Shiva. Or if not that, he's a very, very powerful, powerful demigod. And even if you're not willing to accept that, you must accept he must be the most powerful of all yogis. After all, so many demons who are totally unconquerable by anyone, when they came into Vrindavan, your son effortlessly killed them. When he was just a baby child, he killed Putana, he killed Trinavarta. He killed Sankatasura, Agasura, Bakasura, Vatsasura. When he was only 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. When you tried to tie him with a rope, he uprooted two huge, gigantic trees, Arjuna trees. He is very powerful. He is very great. And yet, your wife, look at how she treats him, how much she commits offense to this great soul. Sometimes we see she's twisting his ear. Sometimes she's chastising him. Sometimes she's chasing him with a stick. Sometimes she ties him up with ropes She said, this has to stop. We have all decided this must stop. Krishna is a very great person. You must just let him do anything he wants. Nanda Maharaj looked at Upananda and the other cowherd men. And he said, you may think like this, but I do not see things this way. As far as I am concerned, Krishna is my child. What kind of illusion are all of you in? You are in a grand illusion. You are saying he's some great personality, Vishnu, Mahesh, Brahma, some demigod or some yogi. Even an ordinary man of any dignity controls his senses. But my son Krishna, he has no control over his senses. Did you ever see? You don't live in the house with him. There is not a minute that goes by that he's not eating something. Huh? He's constantly eating. He cannot control his tongue. And great yogis, they're supposed to have completely conquered anger. When we cook for Krishna, if there's not enough sugar in the sweets, if the sabjis are not hot enough, he throws a colossal temper tantrum and starts throwing the food everywhere and becoming very angry. My son eats at least 50 times a day. Is that the way of a yogi or a great soul? Even demons like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu perform tapasya and could control their senses. You're saying he's the almighty God? Well, let me tell you this. When it's raining outside and there's loud thunder or lightning in the middle of the night, this great yogi, you say, the fearless God of all, he comes running into our bed completely scared to death, saying, save me, save me. And unless we embrace him and put him in our arms and say, we will protect you, he just cries and cries and cries and trembles in fear. He said that, you know, great elevated personalities, they are also very honest. But you should know, any time any butter or curd is stolen from any house, anywhere in Braja, you know Krishna has done it. What kind of honesty is that? And when you ask him whether he's done it, he will say, no, no, I have not done it. He's very proud to tell whatever he does and whatever he doesn't do. He's very proud to tell you whatever he hasn't done, and he'll never tell you anything he's done. If you ask him, did you eat clay? He'll say, no, no, I have not eaten clay. What I say to you, my dear cowherd men, is if such are the qualities of such an elevated personality, then what is the use of being an elevated personality? In fact, Krishna is so mischievous, you just do not understand. You just cannot understand. And then Nanda Maharaj, he looked at everyone, and he just began to laugh. And he laughed so loud and so hard. And as he was laughing, all the cowherd men began to laugh. And they laughed, and they laughed, and they laughed, until tears started flowing from their eyes, and their stomachs started aching in pain. Nanda Maharaj said, and Krishna, when he gets a stomach ache, he comes running to Mother Yashoda crying, I have a stomach ache. And he cries and he cries until Mother Yashoda embraces him and coos him and smothers him with kisses, and only then will he stop crying. This is a great person? This is a yogi? And then he began to laugh even harder. And they all started laughing until everyone in all the assembly of cowherd men were rolling on the ground, laughing, 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 crying. And finally they stopped, and they looked at one another, and then they started laughing again. And in the course of this laughing, they were so absorbed in thinking of the wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna that they completely forgot the whole topic of their meeting. For the rest of the day, they simply narrated the glories of Krishna's wonderful childhood pastimes. In this way, the residents of Vrindavan are teaching us that the supreme perfection of our life is to always take great pleasure in hearing the glories of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. In fact, this is the ultimate yoga. Sitting in silent meditation in the Himalayas, controlling the breath, performing asanas, studying the scriptures scrutinizingly, these are very important processes of purification. But these are all considered very kindergarten fundamental types of yoga processes. The ultimate yoga process, according to the Shastra, is to simply take great ecstasy in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavat Ishwaro Hari Srotavyam Yit Kirtitam Yaschas Martavyaschit Tabhayam. That the state of ultimate perfection, the goal of life, free of all fear, can only be attained by constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is considered to be the perfection of samadhi. It is only through this process that loving devotion can awaken within our heart. And according to Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, Krishna is explaining that there is no higher realization of the truth than pure devotion to his personal form. So, of course, some people misunderstand. How is it that Krishna is behaving in such a way? How is it that he appears just like a frightened little child who cannot be happy unless he has some prasadam in his mouth? Huh? Factually, that same Krishna, when he expands himself, he becomes Narayan, Mahavishnu, Shankar. But in the spiritual world, his only business is giving pleasure to those who have surrendered their lives to him. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, but his supreme enjoyment is giving pleasure to his devotees. Some people, they wonder, we are supposed to be very selfless, but why is God so selfish? You're saying that everything is meant for his enjoyment. Ah. If everything is meant for his enjoyment and he has created things so he's the enjoyer of everything, isn't that kind of selfish? It may appear that way, but we must understand, what is his enjoyment? His ultimate enjoyment is to give pleasure to his devotees, to reciprocate love with his devotees. It is explained in Vrindavan, sometimes the gopis, they would gather together when Krishna was just a little child, and they would clap their hands and they would sing. And Krishna, he would just start dancing around the house, and they would all be laughing. Because he was such a little boy, he could hardly walk, but he would just start dancing around the house. Why was he dancing? He was dancing like a puppet in the hands of his devotees, simply to give them pleasure. Every evening, when Krishna was a small, tiny child, Nanda Maharaj would come home after being in the pasture grounds, herding and taking care of cows all through the day, taking care of the agricultural fields. Hard day's work. You know how when your husband comes home after a hard day's work, he's very much anxious to just relax. So Krishna, Mother Yashoda would say to Krishna, your father is coming home. Krishna,
You should do some nice service for him to make him feel very happy and comfortable when he comes home. Krishna was just a small little child. And he would take the very large size wooden sandals of Nanda Maharaj, his shoes, and he would place those shoes with great, great difficulty on the top of his head. And in a very tottering, childish way, he would go to the door, struggling, straining. Even though he could lift the Govardhan Hill effortlessly, he could kill the mighty Putana, who was a demoness 8 miles long, effortlessly. It took great effort and struggle for him to lift his father's shoes. How is that possible? It's inconceivable. But we have to understand that Krishna wanted to struggle and to kill the demons was nothing for him. He didn't have to struggle and strain. But to show how much he wanted to please his devotee, he showed he's willing to struggle and strain for that. Huh? So he would come to the house and Nanda Maharaj would come to the door and Krishna would be standing there with the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head and he would say, "Father, please accept your shoes." And Nanda Maharaj, tears would flow from his eyes in love. "Ah, how much my son loves me." So in this way, understand that Krishna's supreme enjoyment is giving pleasure to his devotees. And when Krishna acts in a mischievous way, I just narrated to you one story of Nanda Maharaj describing all the mischievous leelas of Lord Sri Krishna. There are thousands, millions of such mischievous leelas. And Nanda Maharaj was only describing just a little sample of what goes on in the house every day. And just see how all the residents of Vrindavan, they were finding such pleasure and such joy. They were laughing, they were crying, they forgot everything else in the entire existence. They were completely immersed in loving Krishna by hearing these wonderful pastimes. So why does Krishna behave like this? Simply for the pleasure of his devotees. Simply so that people will be attracted to loving him and serving him. For those who are addicted to material sense enjoyment, the hearing of the pastimes and the philosophy of the personality of Godhead is the most powerful medicine that completely, like an inoculation, it immunes you from all the influences of suffering and enjoyment of this material world. And for those who are liberated, for those who are pure in heart, for them, there is no greater ecstasy. There is no higher state of divine samadhi than hearing the glories of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically that scripture which describes in the 10th canto the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord as he appeared on this earth. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramhamsa Samhita, which means this scripture is especially designed for the Paramhamsas, for the topmost yogis, for the topmost transcendentalists who have pierced through all lower realizations of the Absolute Truth. This scripture is especially meant simply to be enjoyed by the greatest of all spiritual personalities. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is also the most powerful medicine for those who are under the influence of the three modes of material nature and are struggling hard in this material existence, undergoing the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, it is described in Bhagavad Purana, Nasta Praeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. That anyone who hears Bhagavad philosophy every day, regularly, all inauspicious things within his heart are cleansed away. Srinvatam sukatha krishna punja sravana kirtana hridyantasto hi bhadani vidunoti suhritsitam.
It is described that by hearing Bhagavat regularly and rendering service to the person Bhagavatams, to those who are exemplifying the principles of the Bhagavatam in their life, these two are inseparable. Simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you will never understand the essence of what it is saying unless you render service to those great souls who are living by the principles of Bhagavatam. But these two processes of hearing Bhagavat, chanting the glories of the Lord, and rendering service to the great souls, it is so powerful that through this process one develops an awakening of the taste to hear about Krishna. One wants to hear more and more and more. One becomes eager, anxious, enthusiastic. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, when he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, 7 days, all day, no eating, no sleeping, no speaking, anything, only hearing Bhagavat. We may be thinking, how is this possible? Here, Radhanath Swami is giving a lecture for, so far he's been speaking less than half hour, and already I'm hungry and I'm tired. How is it that he lived for 7 days? Either Shukadev Goswami must have been a very exciting speaker, or Maharaj Parikshit must have been very anxious to hear. Imagine if I were to go on for another 1 or 2 or 3 hours. I guarantee there would be hardly 4 or 5 people left in the room. Everyone would be outside eating prasad, talking about, it was a nice lecture, but it was too long. But Maharaj Parikshit, 7 days, he didn't even think of eating or sleeping. Sometimes when we're giving class, people are whispering amongst one another. It was so quiet in that assembly of sages that not a single person made a sound. Why? Because they were so anxious, so eager to hear. And Maharaj Parikshit was describing to Shukadev Goswami that the more you speak, the more I want to hear. Every word only increases my anxiety to hear the next word. Every syllable makes me more enthusiastic to hear the next syllable, and it's ever increasing. And Shukadev Goswami said, this is the nature of spiritual subject matter. Material subject matter becomes very hackneyed, very old, very dry after some time. But spiritual subject matter, for one who is in the proper state of consciousness, if he is eager to hear, it constantly awakens the presence of the Lord within one's heart. And Krishna says, for one who is eager to hear my message, within the heart, I personally myself cleanse all misgivings, all lust, all anger, all greed, all pride, all illusion. I establish the truth from within as an irrevocable fact to one who takes great pleasure in hearing about me. The more we learn to take pleasure in hearing the subject matter of Krishna, the more we lose our desire to enjoy the greedy propensities of the senses and the mind. Krishna says in Gita, param drishtva nivartate. That means that you can give up the lower tendencies of material sense enjoyment only when we experience something higher, something superior. And that begins by drinking through our ears the immortal nectar of the divine subject matter of Krishna's holy lila and Krishna's holy names. And of course, the more we approach Krishna as the supreme divine person, not a person like you and me. Before we can understand the truth and the glory of Krishna stealing butter and stealing gopis' clothes, these things sometimes we think, I can do these things too. First, we have to understand in the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam the greatness and the glory of God. We have to understand how by his impersonal manifestation he is pervading everything and everything is within him alone. How through his Purusha avatars, Karanodakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, the Supreme Absolute Truth is creating everything within this cosmic manifestation. When we understand the greatness and the glory of the supreme power of God, then when we hear that this most munificent, powerful, supreme of all beings, how he's scared of the lightning, running to Mother Yashoda to give him protection from fear. Then when you hear this story, how the absolute truth, the almighty Bhagwan, is behaving like this just to give loving sentiments to his devotees, just to give pleasure to his devotees, then tears flow from your eyes, your heart melts, and you lose all your attraction to everything of this world. You simply want to become the humble servant of this most wonderful, munificent, and glorious of all personalities. You simply want to become the servant of his servants. This is the power of hearing. This is the power of service to the Vaishnavas. Those who are attracted to hearing the pastimes of the Lord, those who are attracted only to glorifying the pastimes of the Lord, such persons, they are like touchstone. Their association is the greatest treasure, the greatest benediction, the greatest wealth in all of creation. To become the servant of such persons and to hear from them and to follow their instructions, which is none different than the instruction of the Lord himself, then this quality of bhakti will naturally, not something mechanical, but it will naturally awaken from within our consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanari Sudichite Kuriye Udoy. That this bhakti, this prema bhakti, pure love of God, is within the heart of every living being. Simply by chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, hearing his message and serving his devotees. This process is so wonderful, so powerful, that like water, it nourishes the seed of bhakti within our heart. And in due course of time, the fruit of pure love ripens within our consciousness. Prema Pumartha Mahan, that is the supreme goal. That is the supreme perfection. That is what human life is meant for alone. Everything else we are doing is secondary. Whatever we do, whatever work we must have, we may have a business, we may be in some professional career, we may have a family. Whatever we do, Bhagavad Gita teaches, do it responsibly, but everything must be done with the goal in mind of awakening your love for God. Everything should be done in a divine mood of service to God. And this can be understood by one who properly hears and chants the glories of the Lord, and one who learns to take pleasure in these things, and one who puts aside the
entangling so-called pleasures, which are the causes of bondage in this world. So let us chant Hare Krishna, glorify Krishna, hear about Krishna and be happy. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, they have appeared in this most wonderful and beautiful form before us today. They are simply waiting for us. Krishna is playing upon his flute as Sri Gopinath, simply calling us back to his eternal loving abode, calling us back to his loving service. So let us take advantage in this human form of life. Let us make the priority of our life above and beyond everything else, which has a beginning and an end, to beckon to the call of Krishna's divine flute. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
What if one has no attraction for the leelas and one is attracted to just Sankhya philosophy?
He is asking, what is, one has no attraction to Krishna's Leela, but one is attracted to the Sankhya philosophy. Then you should study the Sankhya philosophy, but you will find that the conclusion of the Sankhya philosophy is that the attraction to Krishna's divine Leela will awaken within your heart. If you study it under a proper devotee of the Lord. It is natural. Everyone is attracted to read these newspapers, read these society magazines, go to the cinema, watch the television. Why? Because we're attracted to see these wonderful, exciting activities of people. Most of it is all fictional. It has no meaning. It gives you a little pleasure for some time, and then as soon as it's over, you have to face the problems of life. So it is natural to be attracted to wonderful personalities, to great personalities. So who is more wonderful and great than God? By the more we hear about the Lord, the more we purify our heart by either hearing his message or hearing his pastimes, or chanting his names, the more the natural propensity to be attracted grows within our heart. Thank you very much.